hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues, weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13, verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams, and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible, real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth." Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Around me, I see prophecies fulfilled. Signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. Children, yeah, and at the midnight cry, we'll be going home when Jesus.
A very good evening to our listeners. This is Spirit 88.3 FM. The program is Issues of Life. This is Eben. Yeah, it's always a privilege to come your way Saturday evenings from 8 to 10 p.m. And tonight, we thank God for another opportunity to come your way. In the last many weeks, we've been talking about the coming revival. And indeed, we've learned a lot. We've had Pastor Roger joining by phone from Accra. And tonight, we'll be having the end of the first part of it. And then, God willing, next week we'll be starting the digital parenting. And this time around, a whole lot is happening. And I believe it's going to be another season that parents are going to learn a lot. And listeners will be blessed. And so much is happening in these evil days. And the devil is really, really stepping up the game against children and all that. And that's the essence of knowing about the revival that is coming and what we have to do, the role we have to play, and also to know what is ahead, the challenge ahead. And in the line of one strategy or some strategies the devil is also using against the children and families and all that, that's where the digital parenting comes in. So it's also a very important topic that we'll be looking at, God willing, in the next few weeks as well. And well, but tonight we are dealing with the final parts of the first part of the revival. We are ending it tonight, this episode, and then we'll be looking at a few things tonight with Pastor Roger. He'll be joining us in the course of the program. But before that, I'll be going through the news, some of the things happening in the world. And a reason why we bring this aspect of the things happening is to let us understand what is happening in the world, where we are, what Bible prophecy says, what is happening, especially for us in Ghana. I keep saying this, you know, for us in Ghana, it's, fortunately for us, we are not experiencing a lot of the extreme things which are happening in other places, so we can easily be caught in the trap of being deceived that nothing much is happening out there. Yes, because we are just used to our normal MPP, NDC issues here, and that's all we know. This one has beaten me, this one has done this, this one has said this. I mean, that's all we know in our news here mainly. But a whole lot of things are happening in the world regarding the things shaping up and the events happening and all. And in recent times, there's a new twist. I won't call it a new twist. It's been on for some time. But there is a twist where you can see the attack against the church, against Christians, against the children. And last week's news was full of such tonight. We have a few in there again. You know, they are stepping up the game. Yes, the devil knows his time is getting shorter and shorter. So they are stepping up the game. And that's why we also have to be equipped spiritually. We have to be equipped with information. You see, one of the mistakes we should not do as Christians is to just be biased to only spiritual aspect of these things and ignore information. Because when you are very spiritual, yes, it's good, prayer, the word. But in modern parenting, as we call it, digital parenting and all these things we've been talking about and we are going to talk about, come God willing, in the next few weeks and all, you realize that information is very critical, because you can be spiritual, but if you lack some information, it can erode your spirituality and the spirituality that you are imputing into your children and your family values and all. Lack of information. So it's quite important that we discuss some of these things in the news so that we abreast ourselves of the events and so that we can know what to do and what is coming and all that. All right. Pardon me for my voice a bit. A little cold has been on for some time, but so let me continue tonight's news with this first one. A few weeks ago, last 2 weeks, I think, to be precise, I spoke about Hungary's anti-LGBT law, which the EU were angry when they met at a meeting and all that. And lo and behold, they've started the pressure on them. So EU votes for action over Hungary's anti-LGBT law. The European Parliament has voted in favor of urgent legal action against Hungary's new law banning the depiction of homosexuality to under 18s. You know, please, just let me read, listen to it critically. This new law is banning the depiction of homosexuality to under 18s. And can you imagine that the European Union Parliament is angry that a country that is a member in the EU has passed the law to protect children under 18. They are angry that a law has been passed to protect them. It shows the depravity and it shows how evil has taken roots in the system. That you pass a law to protect children, they say no, allow them to be destroyed. Oh yeah, allow them to be destroyed. The new legislation breached EU values, wow, principles and law, according to MEP. The Parliament added that the law was, quote, another intentional and premeditated example of the gradual dismantling of fundamental rights in Hungary, unquote. Prime Minister Viktor Orban insists school policy is a matter for Hungary, not the Brussels bureaucrats. In a resolution passed on Thursday with 459 in favor and 147 against and 58 abstentions, ME said the latest developments in Hungary followed a broader pattern of political censorship. The Parliament urged the European Commission to use a new tool that allows the EU to reduce budget allocations to member states in breach of the rule of law to ensure that the Hungarian government reverses the decision. It also urged legal action against Hungary's right-wing nationalist government and the European Court of Justice. Wow. Critics say Hungary's new law, which came into force on Thursday, equates homosexuality with pedophilia. Quote, this legislation uses the protection of children as an excuse to discriminate against people because of their sexual orientation, according to EU Commission President Ursula von der Leyen said on Wednesday, calling it a disgrace. Wow. A disgrace. you know, sometimes when I see some of these news items and what adults, I mean, people who should know their left from their right, who should know good and bad, and you hear some of the things they say, then you realize this world is in trouble. Because, you see, all the noise they are making, the anger and the fuming and all the accusations against Hungary, it's not any criminal thing that they've done. They are doing the rightful thing to protect children. And the whole European Parliament is angry and up in arms against one country, one member state, for trying to protect children under 18 from homosexuality, poisoning through the educational system and all that. And they say, no, don't. Allow the children to be destroyed. Allow them to be poisoned spiritually. Allow them to be contaminated. So now they are even going to take it further from the European Parliament after they voted to also take it to the courts, European courts. Wow. This world. Let me get to the next news item. At least this one. Last week, we heard of the British Methodist that had decided to go wayward spiritually. At least the American Presbyterian Church is doing the opposite. That is good. Presbyterian Church in America takes first vote on banning ordination of openly gay men. And that is good news. The Presbyterian Church in America has voted to change a rule in its governing document that would disqualify all gay men from serving in its ministry. The resolution to change the rule, Overture 23, was passed by 1,400 to 400 against 400 at the denomination's 48th annual convention at St. Louis, Missouri last week. Quote, officers in the Presbyterian Church in America must be above reproach in their work and Christ-like in their character. Ah, I like this one. Let me repeat. Officers in the Presbyterian Church in America must be above reproach in their work and Christ-like in their character. That's how a church leader should be. Those who profess an identity, such as but not limited to gay Christian, same-sex attracted Christian, homosexual Christian, or like terms, that undermines or contradicts the identity as new creations in Christ, contradicts the identity as new creations in Christ, either by denying the sinfulness of fallen desires, such as but not limited to same-sex attraction, or by denying the reality and hope of progressive sanctification, or by failing to pursue spirit-empowered victory over their sinful temptations, inclinations, and actions, are not qualified for ordained office, unquote. The amended rule states. Hey, I like this one. Oh, at least I'm happy for them. They've done well. The amended rule will go to local church bodies for a vote before the second round of convention balloting next year, following which the language will be placed in the PCA's Book of Church Order. The Washington Times quoted Chris Norris of the Calvary Presbytery as saying during the debate, "Sanctification begins with one's identity as a new creation in Christ. Taking a gay identity flies in the face of the new creation." Thank you. Oh, yeah. I mean, you see, it just doesn't fit. It doesn't fit. How we can say that Christ accepts this, God allows it in this church, not just as an ordinary church member, but to the high level, the high office of being a spiritual leader. It just beats my mind. At least, thank God the Presby Church is not going the way of Methodists. They have seen the light and they are walking in the light. But, you see, it tells you the fact that even such things are coming out for debates in the church to be voted for alone even tells you there's something happening in the world. I mean, how on earth should we even get to the point where a church will have to vote about an issue like, can we allow gay pastors or not? I mean, it shouldn't even come out for discussion in the first place. So yes, they voted, 1,400 voted in favor of going the biblical way, and 400 voted against. So it tells you that at least there are some 400 leaders who wish the system will still be destroyed. And this is so worrying because, you see, the body of Christ is virtually running on the path of the world. The world sets the standard and the church is following. So the worldly standard is now the benchmark that the church is trying to catch up with. We've thrown away the biblical virtues and values in the word of God. And now it's all about, this is how the new world system is. So let's embrace it. It's really getting serious. This next news, 10-year-olds or class 5 children will have access to condoms in Chicago elementary schools next month. I can't, when I saw this news, I even shared it with Pastor Roger. And my mind, because I have a 10-year-old, and I can't imagine how this little girl, she used to be in Chicago in the U.S., she will be given access free condoms to put in her bag and use it. It's so worrying because, you see, they are destroying the children. They are bent on destroying the children. And seriously, I pity parents in these countries where the educational system is virtually being used to target the children head on. And when we start the digital parenting, a lot of these things, we'll be talking about them. Students as young as the fifth grade will have access to condoms in Chicago elementary schools when they reopen in late August, the Chicago Sun-Times reported. The Chicago Public Schools policy states that schools teaching fifth grade and up must, underline must, maintain a condom availability program as part of an expanded vision of sexual health education, the Sun-Times said, adding that more than 600 CPS schools will end up having them, save a dozen that enroll younger grades. Quote, young people have the right to accurate and clear information to make healthy decisions, unquote. Kenneth Fox, CPS chief health officer and a pediatrician of 30 years, indeed, told the paper. And they need access to resources to protect their health and the health of others as they act on those decisions, unquote. Fox added to the Sun-Times that school efforts want to make condoms available to students for if and when they think they need them, when they don't have those protections and don't make resources available, then bad stuff happens to young people. You have elevated risk of sexual transmitted infections, of unintended pregnancies, and that's very preventable stuff, unquote. So it's all about, let the child have their way. Let the children have their way. Nothing being taught about abstinence. Nothing being taught about waiting till marriage. No. Now all these values have been thrown away. It's not part of upbringing. In sexual education now in these countries, it's all about do what you feel like doing. Do as thou wilt. You know, as the Satanists have in their playbooks. Do as thou wilt. It's like that's how the devil plays the game. Feel free. Do what you want. And that's what they are teaching the children. You know, it's a different scenario when you are dealing with adults. If you place condoms at the university ground, university and all that, at least these are a bit of discerning adults. But to come to children as young as class 5 and you tell me that you are making it available for them to make their choices, there's something wrong somewhere. I mean, whoever decides this, that let's allow the children to have their way, then it tells you, if you're a parent in such a society and you have to bring up your children in this poisoned environment, the difficulty, because the system is virtually destroying your child at the school. And now you, the parent, too, you now have to contend with this at home. And can you imagine the tussle, the tug of war? Let me put it. It's like while they are pulling your child into sin at school, you are trying to put your child in the right way at home. How long can the parent win this battle? Because now you are going to have a very difficult challenge. And that's exactly what they are doing. And you see, some of these things even go beyond when they start giving them access to these things. In some places, they're also giving them access to, if they want to change their agenda, they are allowed to even do start the gender transition without parental consent. So your child goes to school as a girl, and by the time you realize he or she has started seeing a doctor to transition into another gender without the parents' consent. I mean, all these things are happening. You see, and some of these things, it looks like, it's a far something in the U.S., so it's a bad case. It's not as far as we think it is because, you see, they set the standard and they start exporting some of these things into donor countries. The countries that they donate to, they start pulling strings and trying to manipulate. You know, I just thank God that 2 years or so ago, parents were in the church and all were able to vehemently oppose this CSE thing. But that's how it starts. You see, you think this CSE thing, it won't happen again. They will try it again. Because the donor agencies, the funding agencies, the UNESCO and all these people, they will keep trying. They don't give up. And then what I realize, they start tying these things to conditionalities, to loans and grants that they give our countries, the poor countries. And sometimes because our leaders too are just obsessed with just going for grants and loans and free things, now the conditions start coming and sometimes they struggle to resist it. You see, and so these things that are happening elsewhere, it's not too far away because so far as we have good diplomatic relationships with some of these countries, and they have, we have bilateral agreements at some levels and some way and some of these things. It's just a matter of time. They will start pushing it. And for how long can we resist these things? Okay, let me get to the news. The next news. New York Times blasted for defending pornography literacy. Quote, pornography literacy for first graders. Class 1 children. If you didn't hear me well, first grade, class 1. 6-year-olds, class 1. So the New York Times wrote an article defending teaching pornography literacy to class 1 children. Concerned parents and media critics swatted the New York Times on Thursday after the newspaper heralded Justin Angfonte, a New York teacher who recently became infamous for her sexual educational curriculum for children and young adults as a sex-positive educator, and called her lessons pornography literacy. For 7 years, Fonte was the director of health and wellness at the Dalton School on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. In May, she was invited to teach 2 Zoom lessons on pornography literacy and consent to juniors and seniors at the Columbia Grammar and Preparatory School on the Upper West Side. Those lessons, reportedly including some masturbation, quote-unquote masturbation images, outraging parents and eventually leading to her resignation. But the Times, that's the New York Times, had a different viewpoint of the controversy and appeared to provide Fontes some backup. Quote, pornography literacy classes are supposed to teach students how to critically assess what they see on the screen, unquote, the Times tweeted, with a link to its report from Style reporter Varia Safrova. But when sex-positive educator taught her curriculum at 2 elite New York schools recently, some parents were outraged. The Zoom lessons never used the term masturbation, according to Fonte. Instead, Safronova notes, the lesson was about private parts being private and included a cartoon in which two characters use anatomically correct names for their genitals and say that sometimes it feels good to touch them. It's okay to touch yourself and see how different body parts feel, but it's best to only do it in private, the narrator tells the viewers. And the New York Times was justifying this educational system, educational material that this educational expert, so-called, was teaching children as young as class one. You see, you would understand why they are coming for the children. They know what they are doing. They know they are targeting the children on purpose. Because the next news item explains it even more. And this is one Hollywood lady who, at least one of the correct ones, she is in the news for the supposed to be good reasons, but she's rather being attacked because she has said something that should not be said. And let me read this headline. Says Christy Alley angers many by declaring entertainment is leading us down a road toward accepting pedophilia. What she said is the truth, but the attack is on against her for saying that. Christy Alley voiced her opinion about children being exposed to perverse content on television and on the internet, and that's why we are going to treat this digital parenting. Then, the Hollywood actress warned that society's open-mindedness will eventually lead us down a road of accepting pedophilia. Alley's comments angered many, including fellow celebrities and an LGBTQ website. Whitlock, dishes on his ESPN exit, Bill Simmons, John Skipper, blah, 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 and etc. Was watching TV. We've gone too far, in my opinion. I feel sorry for our children. Ali tweeted on Tuesday morning, quote, their exposure to everything perverse on every kind of screen is mind-boggling, and even more tragic is being hyped as normal, unquote. And that's what these things, targeting the children, destroying them, it's seen as normal by the liberals. Quote, no other generation has had such easy access to underbelly of humanity, the actress continued. Quote, so many screens and chronic bombardment of images and concepts, our current society would have been praising Caligula, and I don't know what, maybe it's in another movie or something. Protect your children, she says. I'm kind of on a roll, but my heart's heavy with, that's being crammed down our kids' throats. She used a swear word, that's why I skipped it. Ali proclaimed, a moral code is not old-fashioned. Morals are simply guidelines for better survival. Explicit sexual education and select ideals being forced on kids is not better survival. Yes, she's right. People are becoming so open-minded that down the road, they will support pedophilia as people just loving children. You think I'm kidding? I'm not, Ali said. It's the direction this insanity is headed. You can, okay, boomer, me, all you want, but this is where we will veer unless we change. And that's exactly what she's saying. I mean, the way we are going in this world now, eventually pedophilia will be normalized and also be clear. Already I've seen articles to the effect where top medical experts, some were justifying that it should be allowed. It's also a sexual orientation. So adults loving children and having affairs with them should be seen as normal. Is this all? What this actress is saying is the truth. This is where the world is headed at the current speed at which we are going, with the level of nonsense that is being pushed through the system. Eventually, that will also be accepted. You see, when you stand at the tech road and you see a big bus going loaded with people going towards the Accra Road, you don't need to be told where it's going. You just know. when they've written STC on it or VIP or whatever, or, I mean, whatever name it is, when you just know that this thing is headed towards Accra. And that's, you see, when you see the level of depravity being expressed in the media through the internet, the games, the cartoons, and you can predict that along the way, this route is leading towards where eventually children will be seen as, I mean, toys that for people to just enjoy themselves on. It's already happening in secret and in private. These occultists and all that, it's a major issue for them. They really prey on these children, and you know, a lot is happening in the world. But eventually, they would want to formalize it and make it normal. They would want to make it normal. You see, when someone from Hollywood says it, it carries a lot of weight. If an ordinary person says it, it's different. But when someone who is from Hollywood, who knows the game being played there, who understands the system, who deals with these directors and producers and know their thinking and their pattern and their way of life, when such a person says it, it must be taken serious. But, you know, as I said, we'll be getting more into these things when we get into the digital parenting aspects in the next few weeks, God willing, from next week going. And you see, now listen to this part of the article. Another Hollywood website called the lady's tweets disturbing. Someone rather saying something to protect the children. And she's being described, her right tweet is being described as disturbing. And then a political pundit, Matthew Dowd, responded, "Please seek the care of a team of mental health professionals." In other words, you're having a mental problem. You see, so now those who are saying the truth are rather seen as people who have mental problems. This is the world we are in. And earlier this week, the Washington Post writer advocated for children to be exposed to gay prides, which prompted many to accuse the writer of promoting pedophilia. You see, this one earlier read about New York Times, and then there's this part talks of Washington Post also. You see, they are using the media across the various spectrum to push the agenda. You know, psychologically, they know what they are doing. Keep repeating it, keep saying it, keep saying it, keep saying it, to the point when people will now accept it as normal. So they know that what they are writing about is wrong. They know that society frowns on it. But they intentionally pretend as if they are not aware. And they push it, knowing very well that psychologically, as people see, people hear, eventually it will begin to be normalized in their minds. And that's why they are doing what they are doing. They know very well that eventually they will be able to normalize these abominable things in the society. The next one, Canadian Christians fear the new legislation passed by Trudeau, that's the Prime Minister, could silence them online. Christians in Canada, for those who have been monitoring news from Canada for some time, a lot is happening there. Persecution indirectly, pastors, churches, it's really, really been crazy in the last few months in Canada. Canada's Liberal Party, headed by Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, has proposed new legislation to criminalize, quotes and unquote, hate speech online, punishable by a $50,000 fine. Hey, $50,000. Hey, that's serious. Okay, that's Canadian dollar, so roughly $40,000 US. And this is to be paid to the government. Quote, "Canadians expect their government to take action against hate speech and hate crimes. These legislative changes would improve the remedies available to victims of hate speech and hate crimes and would hold individuals accountable. The actions we are taking today will help protect the vulnerable, empower those who are victimized, and hold individuals to account for the hatred they spread online. David Lametz, Minister of Justice and Attorney General, said in a statement. Lametz introduced amendments to Canada's Criminal Code, the Canadian Human Rights Act, and the Youth Criminal Justice Act. Lametti and his allies justified their Orwellian move by claiming that hate speech online can turn into offline hate. Too many people and communities in Canada are harmed and victimized by hate speech, which is often amplified and spread online. Online hate can turn into offline hate with devastating impacts on communities and families. We have a responsibility to victims to take action to combat hate online and continue to build a more inclusive Canada, unquote, the Justice Department explained in a statement. According to the Canadian Justice Department, the bill aims to amend the Canadian Human Rights Act to define a new discriminatory practice of communicating hate speech online and to provide individuals with additional remedies to address hate speech. And then it goes on, they create a new piece born on the criminal code designed to prevent hate propaganda, offenses, and hate crimes from being committed, and make related amendments to the Youth Criminal Justice Act. The bill, or the law, Bill C-36, would enable citizens to bring legal claims against people who engage in hate speech online. And if a member or panel of the Canadian Human Rights Tribunal finds the accused guilty, the tribunal can either order the accused to cease the discriminatory practice and take steps to prevent it from happening again, order the accused to pay compensation of up to $20,000 to any victim personally identified in the communication that constituted the discriminatory practice, or order the accused to pay a penalty of not more than $50,000 to the receiver general if the tribunal considers it appropriate, considering the nature, circumstance, extent, and gravity of the discriminatory practice. The Canadian Human Rights Tribunal seems similar to bodies like the Colorado Civil Rights Commission, which discriminated against Christian baker Jack Phillips. Phillips refused to bake a custom cake celebrating the same-sex wedding, and the commission found him guilty of discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation, even though the same commission defended another baker's right to refuse to create cakes that stated a message with which she disagreed. Claims about hate speech are arguably even more slippery than claims about discrimination, and it seems extremely likely that Canada's government will use this law to silence dissent from the government's preferred ideologies, from transgender orthodoxy to COVID-19. Christians better wake up fast in Canada, or they will see themselves fined for spreading the gospel, which includes a message of repentance from sinful acts such as homosexuality or gender transition. Even the very notion of sin itself could come under fire for teaching hate speech, because of its offense message that people need to change from their lifestyles or actions. Yet the very heart of the gospel is that repentance is necessary for salvation. Without the ability to preach repentance, you have essentially muted the Christian faith. The Fellowship of Canada has warned previously about such legislation, saying, while opposing the promotion of hatred against anyone, we are deeply concerned about the chilling effect this legislation may have on the legitimate expression of religious belief. It may only be a matter of time before certain verses of the Bible are censored online in Canada for promoting hate. That will never happen, you say? Just tell that to a former Finnish MP, Päivi Räsänen, who now faces similar hate crimes and even prison time for a tweet featuring an image of Romans 1:24-27. Let me quickly read Romans 1:24-27. And as for that verse, the way the LGBT and all those people hate it, Romans 1:24-27. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship the worship and serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of women, burned in their last one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. And this Finnish MP quoted this verse in the post, and she is now facing court action, which can send her to jail for quoting the Bible, Romans 1:24-27. And that's what this article is saying, that Canadians are in trouble because they are headed towards a similar thing. You know, because hate speech is very broad. So who defines what type of hate? So anyone who feels that what you have posted on whether Facebook or Twitter or whatever, Instagram or whatever, the person feels this thing is against me, the person can file a report against you. I mean, that's as simple as that. So eventually you dare not post something against LGBT, you dare not post something against the gay community, you dare not say that someone should repent, this lifestyle is a sin, like quoting Romans 1:24-27. I mean, clearly once you post it, they'll say it's hate speech. It's hate speech. And per the new law that they are pushing in Canada now, if you fall foul of it, you can pay as much as $40,000 or $20,000 to the person. You see, so it's a way of silencing the truth. You see, when they talk of this hate speech and all, they won't say it openly, but in their minds, behind the scenes, when they are meeting and discussing these things, it's Christians that they are targeting. Because they just want to silence the Christians, the conservatives. I mean, so when they bring these laws, it's all targeted at the conservatives, the Christians. This news is worrying indeed. It says, more Americans believe in the existence of aliens than believe in the existence of God. The country that has in God we trust on their currency. Now more people believe in aliens than in God. 51% of Americans believe UFOs, that's unidentified flying objects reported by the military personnel, are likely evidence of intelligent alien life, according to a new poll released by the Pew last week. Why it matters? Questions about whether smart aliens have come to visit Earth have been asked for decades, and these results show that curiosity, which can sometimes verge into conspiracy theory, and that persists. What they found? The new poll surveyed 10,417 U.S. adults in June, ahead of the release of the UFO report mandated by Congress and made public at the end of June. About 65% of respondents said they think there is intelligent alien life on planets other than Earth. And about 87% said UFOs aren't a security threat to the U.S. at all, or only represent a minor one, according to the research findings. According to the poll, only 12% of American adults had heard or read a lot about UFO reports before its release. Quote, some segments of the public are more likely than others to believe that intelligent life exists on other planets, unquote, Pew wrote in a release. This view is especially pronounced amongst younger Americans. About three-quarters, 76% of adults under the age 30 say intelligent life exists on other planets versus 57% of those 50 and older. While the Gallup poll taken several years ago revealed that the highest level of belief, 87%, comes from a simple yes-no question. Do you believe in God? Which Gallup asked in 2017. Belief drops to 79% when respondents are given three options. One being God is something they believe in, the rest are either not sure whether they believe in God or firmly say they do not believe in God. Belief in God appears even lower when isolating just those from the five-part question who say they are convinced God exists, 64%, whilst all three measures of belief have exhibited declines. I mean, this group's drop has been the steepest. The array of Gallup results leads to the conclusion that putting a percentage on Americans' belief in God depends on how you define belief. If the standard is absolute certainty, no hedging and no doubt, is somewhere around 2/3. If the standard is a propensity to believe rather than not to believe, then the figure is somewhere north of 3/4. So the fact that the numbers regarding those who believe in the existence of intelligent life, that's aliens, comparing to those who believe in God, tells you the downward spiral of the society. That you can believe in aliens, that aliens exist, but you have issues with believing in God. And by the way, you see, this whole alien thing, they are demons. I mean, they are demons. Let's just say it as it is. Okay, this last news item. No, this week, 2 days ago, one of my mates posted a song on a university platform, class platform, old school platform, put a class. And so when I saw it, and then he added the lyrics, it was the lyrics that caught my attention. Then later in the day, I saw the news, and then it started trending. And let me read. You see, this is worrying because these are the reasons why we are going to talk about the digital parenting. And I was glad I saw this news because it really fits exactly into what I've been talking about. This headline says, San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus faces backlash after releasing, quote, "We are coming for your children" video. So the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus has faced intense backlash after releasing a song that many believe is intent on pushing the LGBT agenda on children. In the song, which was released earlier this month but made private on Thursday following the men's public criticism, the choir sings such phrases as "We'll convert your children" and "We are coming for your children," which was viewed as an overt threat to parents. And it goes on and on. But let me read the lyrics. Before that, multiple pastors and Christian leaders expressed their disapproval of the LGBT agenda that's promoted in the video. Arizona-based pastor and apologist James White tweeted about the song, saying that the reason to homeschool and communicate a passionate, deep Christian worldview that explains how men are to be men, women to be women, and all that are thankful for the gifts and roles God has given us. But then listen to the lyrics. "You think we are sinful. You fight against our rights. You say we all lead life you can't respect, but you are just frightened. You think that will corrupt your kids if our agenda goes unchecked. Funny, just this once, you are correct. We'll convert your children. It happens bit by bit." Listen to exactly what they are saying in the song. "Quietly and subtly, and you barely notice it, and can keep them from disco. You can keep them from disco. Warn about San Francisco. Make them wear plated pants. We don't care. We'll convert your children. We'll make them tolerant and fair. Just like you are worried, we'll change their group of friends. You won't approve of where they go at night. Oh, you'll be disgusted when they start finding things online that you've kept far from their sight." Listen to this part. "When they start finding things online that you've kept far from their sight, guess what? You'll still be all right. We'll convert your children, reaching one and all. There's really no escaping it, because even grandma likes RuPaul and okay, I think somebody's name, and the world's getting kinder. Generation Z's Gaia than grinder. It's one of those slangs, I think. Learn to love, learn to vogue, face your fate, will convert your children. Someone's got to teach them to hate. We are coming for them. We are coming for your children. We are coming for them. We are coming for them. We are coming for your children. For your children. Your children will care about fairness and justice for others. Your children will work to convert all their sisters and brothers. Then soon, we are almost certain, your kids will start converting you. The gay agenda is coming home. The gay agenda is here. But you don't have to worry, because there's nothing wrong with standing by our side. Get on the board in a hurry, because the world always needs a bit more pride. But you don't have to worry, because there's nothing wrong with standing by our side. That's the gay agenda. Get on board in a hurry, because the world always needs a bit more pride. Come on, try a little pride. We'll convert your children. Then we will turn to you. Giving up the fear inside is freeing like you never knew. Go and see San Francisco. Go and turn up that disco. You forget you were ever upset. We'll convert your children and make an ally of you yet. We'll make an ally of you yet. So these are the lyrics of a gay song, a choir song that they released, and the attack has been very strong against it, and so they have to even make it private on YouTube. But you see, the lyrics gives the intent of these liberals. That's exactly what they are coming for, the children. They said it was just a joke. But see, you can't tell me you sit down and write these lyrics, sing it as a choir, and then when the pressure comes, you say, oh, it's just a joke. It's not a joke, because people, other members of the liberal groupings and all, they've said these things in similar ways before, that they are coming for the children. And they are coming for their children. Yes, this has been said in the songs, but they are not only saying it in the songs. They are acting it out in the cartoons. They are acting it out in the movies, Disney movies, the Nickelodeons and all. They are showing these things. They are coming for their children through their programming. And that's even where the power is, because children programming carries a lot of influence on the children, the minds of the children. So they know exactly how they are coming for the children. So movies, the entertainment industry, the educational system, some of the news that I read, see, they are coming for the children through these means. And you see, it may seem far-fetched that, oh, in Ghana, we are not part of these things, these games they are playing. But don't forget, fine, so far as the educational system, thank God we have a protected educational system that is not contaminated like it is out there. But the entertainment industry is the same as it is out there. Our children are exposed to the same cartoons that they watch in the US. Through the power of internet, through the decoder systems and all, we have access to these same channels. So it's very important parents understand the dynamics of the agenda that these people are pushing. And that's the reason why program like a series like the Digital Parenting comes in very handy, so that parents can understand what we are contending with. You see, the devil has planned, they through his agents, that they are coming for the children to destroy them, to contaminate them. And they are working. They are achieving it. Seriously, they are achieving it in leaps and in bounds. But well, thank God, we'll discuss some of these things to enlighten parents, so that we know what to do, how to protect the children through the Spirit of God leading us, giving us the wisdom and the boldness to take the needed actions. You see, for some of these things, knowing it is one thing, but being bold to act is another. And actions come in various ways. For some, you have to throw your decoder away if you really want to protect your children at home. Oh yeah, these are the realities that some parents will have to contend with. Well, let me reserve these things for the coming weeks ahead. All right, Issues of Life is the program. I'll be back after this short break.
There's a dawn rising on a bright new day. There's a strong wind stirring across the ancient graves. There's a voice that's calling, will you be set free? Oh, there's a change a coming. Let it start in me. Let it start in me. Let it start in me. There's a change a coming. Let it start in me. There's a fire that's burning, sweeping close these lands. Oh, there's a heat consuming every plant. There's a gore emerging from refining flame. There's a diamond sparkling when the world was changed. There's a revolution coming over the sea. Oh, you know it's coming. People must be free. Feel the tide changing. Hear the waves rolling. With this revolution, watch your way. Well, I see. Let it start in me. Let it start in me. There's a change coming. Let it start in me. Let it start in me. Let it start in me. There's a there's a song a brewing. There's a sound of rain. When the thunder rumbling through this flame. Let the troubles be over if we just believe that the rains are coming. Let it rain. Let it start in me. Let it start in me. There's a change a coming. Let it start in me. Let it start in me. Let it start in me. There's a change coming. Let it start. Let it start in me. Let it start in me. Change, oh, come here, yeah.
Welcome back to Spirit 88.3 FM. The program is Issues of Life. This is Eben. You know, when you listen to some of the things happening in the world, these are just a few. I mean, a whole lot is happening. A whole lot. Sometimes the news items I have to leave out. Sometimes far more than what I have to. I just have to pick a few just to use within an hour. But a whole lot. A whole lot is happening, and it should give us a better understanding of the state of the world and how evil is increasing, and the reason, this reason should let we, the believers, step up our spiritual activity in terms of what we have to do in prayer, in raising our families in the better way, protecting them, giving them the grounding in the word of God that is very fundamental and necessary now. You know, because failure to be informed and using that information to shape and correct and let it guide the way you do things will be a very grave error, because knowing, what's the essence of knowing what is happening, what the devil is doing, and yet it doesn't influence you to act positively? It doesn't influence the way you do things. So I believe when we hear these things, it's supposed to help us, to let us understand that the word of God is true, and these are the things that should encourage us to get serious with the word of God. Pastor Roger will be joining us by phone anytime soon, and then we progress from there. You know, as I said earlier, see, a lot of the things that is happening in our media land space now. This week, I had a chat with one lady friend. She is in Accra. And she was telling me that one of the free-to-air channels, the children were watching. She saw the children watching, but she became curious. So, by the dressing of one of the cartoon characters. So, she became curious, and lo and behold, soon, she started seeing the rainbow flashing. Then she said, hey, quickly screamed, they should change the channel. You see, that's exactly what is happening. This is a TV, a channel in Ghana, a Ghanaian channel, and they were showing something that had, you know, the LGBT thing there. You know, they are fusing it in very, quote unquote, harmless ways, which, if you are not enlightened, you'll be deceived. If you are not enlightened about their strategies and what they are doing, you wouldn't know. And you see, by the grace of God, I'm sure listeners who have been listening to this program now, for instance, when you hear about a rainbow or you see a rainbow in a movie or a cartoon or something, at least your attention will be a bit enlightened or heightened because of what you've heard on this program. But take another parent who hasn't heard anything about this LGBT thing, doesn't know anything that they are doing through the cartoons and all that. And yet, this parent sees the children watching a cartoon with rainbow flashing and people with rainbow flags and all that. But because of ignorance, this same parent will see the children watching these cartoons and will not do anything and act because he or she is ignorant about the dangers and doesn't know the implication of what the children are watching. You see, so that's why information is very critical, because failure to be informed can expose you to unnecessary dangers, which, you see, so, yes, this same parent's case study, scenario I'm creating, talking about, the parent can be very spiritual and prayerful and everything, trying to bring the children up in the fear of God and everything. But yet, ignorance about the games that the enemy is playing, the strategies of the enemy. So, you are doing your spiritual best at home, and yet you are still opening up your family, the back door for the enemy to come in and still come and destroy your children. You see, that's why we shouldn't take these things for granted. No, we shouldn't take it lightly at all. I mean, there are many who downplay some of these things and it's like, oh, what's the big deal? Oh, they are just children. Let them feel free. Let them watch. You see, the devil knows their children, yes. But they are coming after them. Ask yourself, why are they so bent on coming after the children? If they are just children, and so what's the big deal? They are just children. Let's just allow them to be children. Then why should the devil be bothered about them? If the devil is not bothered about they being children and is busy coming after them, with all arsenals being deployed to come after the children, then you cannot, as a parent, sit and fold your arms and say that they are just children, so the enemy should, there's nothing to worry about. By the time you wake up from your spiritual slumber and your spiritual ignorance and information deficits on your part, by the time you notice the effects of all these things I'm talking about, you'd have lost your children to the deception out there. You see, sometimes I ask myself, so why would, what will happen that a 4-year-old, 5-year-old can decide that I'm no longer a boy, I want to be a girl? You know, when I see these news, I just ask myself, yes, there are some that is the parents who have encouraged it, but there are others too who, the problem didn't start with the parents. The problem started from the entertainment industry, from the programming that the children were exposed to, or the child was exposed to. You see, so you hear some of these things and it may sound, oh, how? It's not possible. But a little poisoning at a time, gradually, the child's mind is being changed. So you would have a little child now beginning to question their gender, because they've also done programming, cartoons and children programs targeting the children to start questioning themselves, to start questioning their gender. And they are giving them, if you see this, you see that, you see this, you see that, you see that, then you see. So these things, these seeds are being sown into the hearts of the children through the things they are watching and the things they are seeing and hearing. And that's the more reason why programs like the digital parenting comes in handy. In the next few weeks as well, my friends and I, we are planning the virtual conference as well. That one will be by Zoom, because one of the team members is in California in the US, and the other one is, okay, then two of us are in Kumasi, but it will be a virtual conference where parents can, let me see if I can find the details. Pastor Roger will be sent a message that he'll be joining soon. Okay, all right. So let me just do this announcement ahead of. National Digital Parenting Conference 2021. The theme is Protecting Your Family Online. 10 things every parent should know. And that is tentatively, the date is Saturday, 13th August, and then Sunday, 14th August, 5 p.m. on each date. So participation is free. It's a virtual conference by Zoom. So the three speakers are three. We have Gabriel Foria Pia, that's Digital Aid, Emmanuel Dinkra, GISF Ghana Internet Safety Foundation, and myself, Eben, also being part of these three speakers. So you can book ahead of time, plan, and 13th August and 14th August, 5 p.m. each day, Saturday and Sunday. So I think I'll share it to my broadcast list, and then upload it on the issues website as well as the Telegram page. group page as well. So you can register on the link. There's a link there too. So that's it. And it's very important we look at these things because, you know, as I said, parenting in this generation is the most difficult thing any parents can will find themselves in, because we are exposed to all sorts of things which previous generations, you know, just one example, the previous generations didn't have internet to contend with as parents. Oh yeah, there was no internet. So when we were growing up, there was nothing like internet. The very first time I used the internet was when I traveled to Japan, when I was in the university. That was the very first time I had access to the internet as a university student. You see, so now I compare myself with children who, recently I was invited to give a talk at a school, and I was telling them about the fact that they, in class one or whichever class they find themselves in, have access to things which I didn't have access to even when I was in the university studying computer science. You see, so there is a vast difference between the current generation and all previous generations. So what they are exposed to, we didn't have access to those things. Likewise, as a parent, parents didn't have to contend with a child going on the internet to do any Zoom class or online class or research for assignments and homework and all these things. It didn't exist. Even university students, we didn't have access to internet those times. How much more now? But now primary school children are doing assignments online. You see, so the dynamics are not the same. So if the way your parents brought you up as a child then, in the internetless or in the generation where there was no internet, now compare yourself as a parent with a generation that has access to internet. Clearly, if you go by the same principles, you will fail miserably. Oh yes, you will fail woefully, because the things that the child is now being exposed to, you were not exposed to when you were a child, because the platform wasn't even there. You see, so these are just examples that parents can assess and see, because this is just, the internet is just one example. I mean, the TV is there, the TV channels, for instance. Let's look at, I mean, when growing up, there was only Grandpapa GTV. That's the only one we all knew. Black and white. I mean, they start transmission at sometimes 5 p.m. or depending, they didn't have a fixed time. Sometimes 4, sometimes 3. It changes. Sometimes 5 p.m. they will start. Then their transmission signals come on. And then, yeah, we're ready to watch Coleco, Puppet Show, and all those things. 10, they've closed. 11, they've closed. That's all. The whole country, that's what we had access to. Except the very few rich people who had, I mean, C-band satellites those times. Very, very few. Very few people had access to those things. So, you see, life, as we know it. Okay, I think Pastor Roger joined. Hello. Yeah, good evening.
Hello. Good evening.
Hello.
Hello. Good evening.
Yes, I can hear you. Your voice is a bit far. Hello?
Okay, let me call again.
Oh, no, it's okay. It's okay now. Yeah. Oh, I think he cut the line. He was okay. He's trying to call again. Hello, good evening.
Hello, good evening, man.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Your name?
I think it's okay now. Good evening to our cherished listeners.
Yeah.
Gradually, today we have come to an end of looking at what is about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
We may be ending today, but we are now going to begin well. We are ending today with the trumpeting, but very soon,
yeah,
many of us will begin to see it live and colored.
Yeah.
This evening, as you were reading the list, I just decided to look at what Glenda had for us today.
Mm-hmm.
And the theme for today was, if the heavens will be shaking.
Yeah.
It is a repost from
2017.
April 1st, 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what she wrote. I have told you the heavens will be shaking in this time, as well as the earth. Have you completed the meaning of my statement, my people? When I shake the heavens, the earth will no longer enjoy the same benefits as before. Many changes will occur. Says, when I shake the heavens, the earth will no longer enjoy the same benefits as before. Many changes will occur. When I shake the earth, you know what to expect. Do you know what to expect when I shake the heavens? The heavens have not been shaking before. I speak this to warn you that unexpected changes will occur in these times. Changes no one is prepared for, nor can you be. Those who understand what is happening, that what is happening is from me, that I have foretold you in my word this will happen, can remain calm, knowing I will protect them and provide for them, but others cannot. When I shake the heavens, the world around you will panic. They will not know where to hide. The peace you have in me will be a witness to them that there is something more. Do not be afraid, but be strong and very courageous. When these changes happen, I will reward you. Then these were the scriptures she added to it. Isaiah 13, verse 13. Therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place. In the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger. And the next one is Joel 3:16. But I want to read from Joel 3, from verse 9 to 16. It says, proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourself and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Hither, force thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be weakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Mm-hmm. Come, get you down, for the press is full. The fat overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion, and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people, and the strength of the children of Israel. This is a powerful word. Mm-hmm. The heavens will shake. When there is an earthquake, how do people feel? This week there was an earthquake
in California.
In California. And the comment about it was severe. It was so serious. Even they had to remove it on the Richter scale because the system itself could not detect the actual place of the earthquake. This is just the earthquaking. But we are looking at the heavens will shake, the earth will shake. This tells us that what is coming has not come before. The unseen realm was and is always the first reality. The natural realm or physical world is the second reality. The clash between light and darkness is heading for a climax. So we must move on with our relationship with the Lord by drawing nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to us. James 4, verse 8. Anytime we hear draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to us, we should come to this understanding that it is not God who enters into our realm. It is we who have to enter into the realm of God. Therefore, for what we have been saying for all these weeks, if you want to come to grasp with what is happening and you don't want it to take you by surprise, begin to draw near to God. We cannot move on if we do not know the season that we are in. Just knowing the season releases some grace and favor into you. Because when you look at what Glenda, the prophecy Glenda gave, she said, those who know will know where to hide. They will have peace in me. Why? It is just because they knew it's about to come. My fellow listeners, as we listen and as we are able to know the season in which we are, we can smoothly enter into this season without any pressure. Because if you know what is coming, you are already prepared for it. One of the scariest scriptures in the Bible is Luke chapter 19, verse 44. It says, they will level you to the ground and kill your people. One stone will not be left on top of another because you didn't recognize the time when God came to help you. King James would say you did not recognize the time of your visitation. God has been preparing the church for its greatest days in church history. And this requires revelation that we must have in order to take part in the great collaboration of heaven and earth. It will surpass the outpouring on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. We will go beyond Acts chapter 2 because already the Welsh revival, the Azusa Street revival, and some revivals that had happened have already surpassed Acts chapter 2. So we are going beyond Acts chapter 2. So we will now use Acts chapter 2 as a reference point, but we will go beyond chapter 2. The greatest days in church history are not in our past.
Yeah,
they are in our present, mm-hmm, and our future. I want to read a vision, a short vision the Lord gave one of the pastors in the U.S. His name is Timshit, the brother of Dasit. He says, I saw two submarines. That is the vision. In the vision, I saw two submarines. One was very old marine, such as we would have seen in the first half of the 20th century. That old submarine was submerged under the water. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, that is the charismatic movement. It is now submerging into the culture it once ruled. I then saw another submarine coming out of the water. One of a new nuclear Triton submarine. It was just breaking the surface when I heard the Holy Spirit say, that is his remnant, New Testament Church. It will now emerge from the culture to rule and reign. Amen. It will now emerge from the culture to rule and reign. For the past few weeks, most of the news that even you've been reading, what have we been seeing? We have been seeing the church being submerged to the culture that it once ruled over. Mm-hmm. Last week it was Methodist. But thankfully, this week we saw Presby emerging from it. We saw Presby becoming a remnant. We saw Presby, the U.S. Presby, coming out as what? A New Testament church. These are the two submarines that he saw in the vision. Two churches. One being submerged, the other coming up. Which one will you be in? Mm-hmm. Will you be part of the one that is being submerged? Or you'll be part of the one that is coming out. But my prayer for you tonight is that you'll be part of the one that is coming out. Because the one that is coming out is glorious. The one that is coming out with power. The one that is coming out to rule and to reign. Now, for that to happen, the church must be endued with power from on high. Filled and refilled with the Holy Spirit. There must be a fresh fire and a fresh wind bringing forth a fresh anointing for us to live under. The anointing of the old season is not going to carry us forward. We must therefore prepare an upper room over our lives, our families, our neighborhoods, our villages, and our cities, to call down God's glory. Ever even most of the news we have been reading, many have been hearing of the evil wind that is blowing. Mm-hmm. But I am here to also tell you, as we round up today, that God is also blowing a new wind. It is either you choose to see the evil or you choose to see the new. But I pray that your spirit will be one with the Lord. Your spirit will be knit with the Holy Spirit so that you will know what is coming. And then you'll be part of those who bear what is coming. Most times, what is coming, we don't see it here. As you read is it the anthem or song of the LGBT?
Yeah, the song.
The song. It is more of an anthem than a song. Because this is what they stand by.
Oh, yeah.
And it's what has been ruling. And you see, this thing that we see coming did not just start today. It started from the spiritual. And it has hit us at the natural.
Yeah.
In the same way, God is birthing a new thing in the spiritual. And it's gradually coming. And it will hit us in the natural. But I don't want it to hit you unaware. Like you'll be treating the digital parenting. because many parents have been caught unaware. Why? They did not know what was coming. They could not envisage what was coming. They could not perceive what was coming. They were just there. They were just there. They were just there. And it has come to hit them. And even though it has even hit them, many are still not realizing that something else has hit us. Mm-hmm. Many are still not being watchful. But we are praying that from tonight you begin to watch in the spirit. It is reported that one day a child's Finney train passed through Houston, New York. The Holy Spirit fell on the sinners in the community. Men in cocktail bars fell on their knees under the conviction power of the Holy Spirit and asked Jesus Christ to save them. That era is coming back.
Yeah.
And we need to agree with God in persistent prayer to bring it into our homes, localities, and churches. That time is coming back. Even the time of the seraphim is coming back.
Yeah.
What Isaiah saw, and he said he was ready, it is coming back. That power to convict is coming back. The power that the prophet carried is coming back. The power that Jonah carried after he had run away from the Lord, he had been submerged for 3 days and had come up. The power he carried that could convict a whole city of Nineveh to work, to look to the Lord, to fast and to pray, that power is coming. And as you listen to me, please don't miss that time. Ask yourself this question. Why did God bring me into the world in the last 100 years, but he decided to bring me today?
Mm-hmm.
Because when you read the news about 100 years ago, the world was calm. Is that not so?
Oh, yeah.
Why did God bring us here today? He brought us here because there is a move of his coming. And he knew and he knows you can be part of it. He knows I can be part of it. He knows together we can make that move happen. The next great move of God, which we are talking about, does not rely on receiving new words of prophecy, but taking the ones we already have and leaving them out. As it has often been said, whether we are the last generation on the earth or not, it is our last generation to influence our world for Jesus. And we need to be in the flow of the Holy Spirit to do so. It is not time for him to bless our plans, but for us to hook up with his plans. Plans that have already been blessed from the time of creation. Brethren, it is not time for us to change plans. This plan that we are talking about, this move of God that we are talking about, has been laid way back in time. Yes, sir. Just as John the Baptist could go back into years, into about 400 years, to become the one or the voice crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Tonight, may we also go back into time and to bring about the greatest move of God, as prophesied by Joel in Joel chapter 2 from verse 28. And 29, which says that, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days, I will pour out my spirit. It has been prophesied.
not today. We will not need any new prophecy. That prophecy is working. And our job is to hook on with the plans of God and to make sure that it does not pass us by. In the same way, those at the dark side have also covenanted with the evil one to bring darkness to bear on the land. They have also covenanted. That is why some people can come out with their song, because they have covenanted with the evil one that this is the time to bring darkness onto the earth. This is the time to bring everybody under the cover of darkness. But listen to me. The word of God says in Isaiah chapter 60 from verse 1, that arise and shine, thy glory, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and God darkness the people. The Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. One thing that we must take note, and one thing that our hearts must be gladdened, is that the word of God has already told us what will happen. We already know what the devil wants to do. We already know that darkness is coming. So when you see darkness coming, don't be disturbed. When you see darkness coming, don't be frightened. When you see darkness coming, don't be shaken. Why? It has been said, and it is coming. But in this time that it is coming, there is one thing that you and I need to do. And what must we do? Bible says that, but the Lord will arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. So the first thing, child of God, as we round this up, is for you to know that as darkness comes, as darkness is coming, you must begin to shine. Your light must begin to shine. And a light will always shine brightest when the darkness is there. This is when your light must shine. So when darkness is coming and your light fails to shine, this is where you have a problem. But when darkness is coming and your light is shining, then Bible will tell you in Isaiah 60 verse 3 that the Gentiles shall come to thy light and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. Who does not like light? Who does not love light? Even when it rains, There are flies who come around light, because everybody wants light. It is time for your light to shine. It is time for your light to shine. And let us also come to understand, as we round up this series, that revival does not begin in our spouse's heart. Revival begins in us. Revival begins in you. It's never going to begin in someone else. You cannot experience revival if you are spiritually dead. Some of us are dead. And when even we walk into rooms, the spiritual temperature drops because we are part of the frozen chosen. It is time we begin to be on fire for God. We should be full of the Holy Spirit. And when you are full of the Holy Spirit, you will take the power of God wherever you go. Many of us are allowing the influence of the world to stop us or to pull us down. Brethren, this has been prophesied. Don't let the world stop you. Don't let their influence pull you down. Be the light, and you pull people up for the Lord. Bible says, we are the salt of the earth. We must rise up in victory. We must rise up in power. We must rise up in faith in these last days. Then we will affect the spiritual temperature wherever we go. Ezekiel 36, verse 6, have this to say. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove your stubborn heart and give you obedient heart. I will put my spirit in you. I will enable you to live by my laws, and you will obey my rules. Who told you cannot obey the rules of God? Who told you the world is so perverse, the world is so backward that you cannot worship God? All that you need is that you have the Spirit in you. He said, the moment the Spirit comes into you, what will he do? I will enable you to live by my laws. A good example is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When the Spirit was in them, God enabled them to live by his laws. God enabled them to obey his rules. There is only one rule, and there is only one law, and that law is Christ. That rule is Christ. Any other rule will fall. God, Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will never pass away. As we end, he says, the coming revival. These are some things that you have to hold in your heart for the coming revival. That the coming revival is not going to be for anyone. The coming revival is for you and me. There will be no great men in the coming revival. There will be no great women in the coming revival. There will be ordinary men and ordinary women with a great God. So if you are looking to your pastor for the coming revival, begin to look at God for the coming revival. If you are beginning to look at the bishop for the coming revival, turn your eyes from the bishop and begin to look at God for the coming revival. Because in this revival, it will be ordinary men and ordinary women, but with a great God. So all you need to focus is to focus your attention on God. Because the revival is coming for you. It is coming for me. It is coming for all of us. And God needs you to be ready. So don't look to your pastor to be ready. If your pastor is not ready, when you look to God, you will still be ready. If we begin to look at the men of God, this revival will pass us by. It is time we begin to look to God. Because one thing is clear. There will be no great men in the coming revival. Last week, I made mention of one man of God's vision that he saw about the children, that he saw children gathered together in a hospital, and the empty hospital. This was the man of God that he saw. He saw children. So today, if you see your children being followed from cartoon to what and what and what, from education to what have you, you should come to one reality. They want to destroy them because they know these are the children who carry the revival. If today you think the revival is past for you, look at your child and look at your child and tell your child, you are for the revival. These are the people for the revival. I am for the revival. Eben is for the revival. What about you? I hope you also be for the revival. That is why we are seriously championing it. That is why we are trumpeting it. When John the Baptist was shouting in the wilderness, everybody thought he was crazy. When he was shouting in the wilderness, they thought he was crazy. But when they saw him back in the Lord, and the heavens opened, and the Spirit started speaking, then they knew that this man has seen something that we have not seen. You have to open your eyes and see something that others have not seen. I know even as I'm speaking, there are some of us who are listening, who have seen vision beyond what we are trumpeting. And many do call us, telling us of visions they have seen about what is coming. Many are seeing it. So don't think if you have not seen it, it is not happening. It will happen. It will happen. And you cannot stop it. There are things you should know. That there are some timelines set by God that no man can stop. There are timelines set by God that man cannot stop. Yours is to be in alignment with that timeline. Because whatever you do, it will come. And that is what the devil has been fighting for some time now. That great awakening, the great outpouring will never happen. To him, it should be escaped, but it can never be escaped. If you won't pray today for the great awakening, if you not pray for the great, someone is praying somewhere. God seeks a people who are willing. God seeks a people who are yielded. God seeks a people who will count the cost. God seeks a people who will lend their lives unto him, and he shall flow through them and touch many. If you are not ready, somebody is ready. There is one scripture that is so dangerous again in the Bible. That is, he said, if you fail to praise me, the rocks will cry out.
Yeah.
The rocks will cry out. What does it speak to tell us? It seeks to tell us that when the time is due and God is making all the moves and you are refusing to see it, you are refusing to hear it, you are refusing to acknowledge it, take note, God will bypass you and use someone else. For those of us who may decide to stand against the revival that is coming, God will bypass you. God will bypass you. God will bypass you. Because it must come. And you cannot stop it. It is like when Elisha prophesied about food coming to Samaria. The man on whom the king leans. What did he say? He said, it was not possible.
Yeah.
He said, it was not possible. I know there are many people who hear us and they know we are building what? We are just talking in the air. It is not possible. I have talked to you who have told me, sir, what are you saying? It is not possible. But I am telling you, it is possible. It is possible and it is coming. Just align yourself with God and you will see it is possible. This is the day and the hour of the pouring of the Spirit of God. This is the day. This is the final moment of the church. It is time to get ready. Don't sit back and say, God is not going to use me. Start getting yourself ready. Amen. God bless you. Thank you very much for this opportunity. We hope to join another time for another discourse.
Yeah.
But for the time being, we'll also be praying. And we know there are many who will be joining us in prayer, believing God and trusting God that soon and very soon, what we have been reading in the scriptures will come to pass and we will be partakers of it. God richly bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Pastor Roger, for joining us in this series. Indeed, for those who took note of all the things we've been talking about in the last 15 or so weeks, you would realize that we've gone through a whole lot of Bible study. If you take time to listen to it critically and read the Bible again and study it and all, you get a deeper understanding of all the things that we've been talking about. These are the times. These are the times we are in. And it's my prayer that it will not just be something that you just listen and hear and that's it, but let it inspire and cause a stirring in your spirit, man, to be praying towards it, to be praying that you'll be a part of whatever God has to do in these last times we find ourselves in, and pray that you would have a passion for the lost. Because as I said the other time, the Holy Spirit drew my attention to the fact that the Bible is not just an entertainment something. It is for souls to be saved and for the church to be purified and prepared for the coming of the Lord. So for souls to be saved, we are going to be vessels to be used. And if we don't have the passion for the lost, how then can we be effective souls or soul winners in the kingdom? So we have to pray for ourselves. We need to work on ourselves and for God to use us. I'll be back after this short break. Gonna be a great awakening. Beautiful song by Tom Ignis. All right, so we had Pastor Roger joining us, and we thank God for this series that we've treated. You can get each of the editions on spiritissues.info, spiritissues.info, and for those in the Telegram group, you can also get all the recordings there. For those who haven't joined yet, the Telegram is just a group, not for chatting or for disturbances, but just to the files that are used on this program. And then I also have a podcast. I've been not be able to release any edition yet or episode yet in the last 2 weeks, I believe, but this week. Oh no, next week, God willing, I have quite a number I'll be releasing. So I dropped the Telegram into the Telegram group. You can have access to the podcast as well. There, so as well as the Issues of Life program. Okay, so thank you for listening to us tonight. And as I said, God willing, next week we'll be starting this new series on digital parenting, which I know quite a number of parents are expectant, because I remember some asking some time back, not long ago, when are we going to talk about these things again. Indeed, a lot is happening, and by the grace of God, we'll be talking about and sharing, and we'll be having one or two people joining us along the various editions. And it's my hope and my prayer that it's not just something to just hear, to just tickle ourselves off, but to apply it in our lives, in our families, in shaping the family, the children, and all. Because the lyrics of the song that I read, they are coming for the children. Yes, they mean it. It's not a joke. They are coming for the children. And if they are coming for the children, we should be ready for them. We should be ready to protect our children. And how well and how effective we can protect our children is based on how informed we are, both physically and then spiritually. And then we can contend for the lives of our children. And I believe God will help us through in this coming editions of Spirit Issues, Issues of Life. And so, good night, and God bless you. Let me finish off with this song. Okay, so this is Eben. I had Pastor Roger joining by phone from Accra. Thank you. Bye.